how deep is your love?
Touch me in the pouring rain, and the moment that you wander far from me, I wanna feel you in my arms again. And you come to me on a summer breeze, keep me warm in your love, then you softly leave.
Love Continues, the 1977 Bee Gees song, How Deep Is Your Love, highlights the problem. It's a question that can be asked a couple of ways. How much do you love me, or to what extent do you love me, or for how long will you love me, or under what conditions will you stop loving me? The song asks something humans always ask each other. What is your definition of love? As if love is a subjective thing. We ask these questions because love is exactly a subjective thing. Welcome, worldwide listeners, to Miss Inez Says, Let's Talk About It. How Deep Is Your Love? Part 2 on April 11, 2023, as we try to infiltrate this question of the depth of the love and if it can be measured. I'm your hostess, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Anais Falco Designs. and I am broadcasting to you worldwide. Hello, everybody out there. Yes, yes, yes. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Join me tonight at 845-241-9985. Again, the number is 845-241-9985. Or you can Skype me, or you can click on the link of www.blogtalkradio.com/Let's Do It Radio, and you can listen online. Or as I said before, you can call me at 845-241-9985. And those of you who are out there in the world, I appreciate you joining in, clicking on the link, listening, and I wish you can comment and just, you know, let me know how you feel, how deep is your love. So share this link, the www.blogtalkradio.com/Let's Do It Radio, and you might think of the benefits to others and their conversations, and I want to thank you for sharing the link. So as we are going to recap from part one of How Deep Is Your Love, and then continue. When we fall in love, we feel as if we are experiencing deep love for the first time. Love feels like something out of a fairy tale. It's intense, thrilling, and passionate. But then you realize that it only lasts for a few months or even a few weeks. Reality sets in, and as you begin to ask yourself, how deep is your love? Or is it even real love that you are feeling? This is the reality of relationships. The first stage of dating revolves around the intense type of love, often confused as deep love. Then, when the couple finally starts getting to know each other or having their first disagreement, this feeling slowly fades away. That's why many couples fall out of love. And then when they meet another person, the cycle repeats and repeats and repeats. The old roller coaster. There we got Reverend Ron with us chiming in on his laughter. So, does deep love even exist? When does it feel? What does it feel like? And how deep is love anyway? And first off, what is the definition of deep love? Let's hear the definition of deep love from Reverend Ronnie Marshall out of Little Rock, Arkansas. Hello, Reverend Ron. How you doing?
Good evening. Good evening to the esteemed host, Inez. Good evening
hey.
And to all of the listeners. Good evening again.
Good evening.
Well, to begin with, deep love have to be looked at from an Eve standpoint of view. Deep love from when I looked at my love, from an Eve standpoint of view. So it was right after perfection. And in so doing, I saw two natures in her. I saw a part of her that I still cherish and love. And then I met a part of Eve later on that particularly I didn't care for. But the deep of love was the love that connected me with her and perfection.
Okay.
So that's why I could keep on going, even though the nature of Eve that tormented me and put me down and you know, rebelled against discipline of togetherness, of oneness, you know? But because the love was deeper than just external formalism, but then I could love the part of her that reminded me of Eve that was perfection.
Okay. And to you, your wife was a perfect love for you.
Yeah. It's clear.
Right. It's very clear. Very clear.
But again, I had to see beyond her faults. I had to see beyond her faults to keep on loving and deepening the love.
Okay.
But it was painful for me. in some cases.
Why? Okay.
It was painful for
why
me
was
in
it?
Some cases.
Okay.
Well, because
why was that?
Because she had learned the fallen nature of a woman.
Okay.
So that came with some dogmas, you know, that really at times irked me.
Mm-hmm.
But because of
okay.
love, because the practice of wanting something to last forever, well, then you look beyond that and the pain and even the misfortune of health failing.
Uh-huh.
So just how deep love can go, so deep until you don't even see when you're being lashed upon.
Oh, okay. 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 We got some other reverends on the line with us. We got, I believe, Reverend Carolyn McCullough.
Yes.
Or is it Reverend Rodney? Okay. And then we also have Reverend Carolyn Williamson as well as Reverend Ron Marshall. Welcome, everybody. It's so good to have family back together. Woo-hoo! Tonight's topic is How Deep Is Your
good
Love?
Good evening, everybody.
So we're just recapping how deep is your love and what is the definition of deep love. So I'm glad that everybody is, you know, on the line, and we got some biblical people on the line who can explain a love. So welcome, 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 each and every one of you. So Reverend Ron was just discussing how his love was with his wife, and even though he loved her, it was still painful at the same time. If you want to reiterate, Reverend Ron?
Sure. What I said mm-hmm. was I ran into a woman, and I learned both of her natures, and I saw Eve in her. I saw Eve in her. I saw Eve in her from a perfect side, and I saw some of the attributes of Eve in her from a fallen nature side that she had learned prior to us becoming one. So there were times that she hurted me, but she didn't know she was hurting me. It was just out of the nature in which she had learned. So that part of her reminded me of Eve and the fall of a woman. Then she had attributes that were so beautiful at times that it would draw tears from my eyes. That reminded me of the perfect state of Eve. You know? So when the falling part of her, when it pained me or hurted me or caused me to feel some kind of way, I had the deepness of my love had to go beyond that to the perfect part of her that reminded me of perfect Eve.
Okay.
So that's how deep it was. It was just a minute away from perfection.
Okay. And Reverend McCullough, what is your definition of deep love?
I think it's blind. Deep love can be blind. Blinding to the point to wherein all you can do is see what's happening to you, but you may find and make excuses to stay right in that particular love relationship.
Okay.
And the deep love that we, I think, have experienced in the past may not be the deep love people are experiencing today, because people are not willing to make the kind of commitment that comes with love. And there is a strong commitment that comes with love.
Okay. Reverend Williams, I don't know if she's able to talk or if she's, I know she listens a lot of time, even though she's not able to talk. Are you able to talk tonight, Reverend Williamson? Okay. She's not. She's listening. Okay.
Okay.
So in the description of what I found out about how the definition of deep love is, the beautiful feeling of deep love differs from many. It's far better than those romantic movies that we have seen numerous times. We have read poems about it and heard songs about deep love. And but yet, this feeling can sometimes be confusing. It's the feeling that you get when you are already whole. To love someone beyond our needs and beyond what we can control, because deep love is selfless. Deep love isn't the same for all of us, like we just discussed. Some are lucky enough to experience this, but for some, the search goes on. So, you know, when we have that puppy love and everything, how we feel like we're in love and our feelings get hurt and then, you know, we go in and out of love. So, you know, but once we finally realize how deep your love is, then that is the time you can share it in the most loving way you can. So, Reverend McCullough, when you and Reverend Rodney got together, were you in high school, grade school?
You were a young Reverend. We were in the 11th grade, as a matter of fact.
Okay. And so,
and
you guys stayed together.
It was not love, like, at first sight or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
It was a friendship.
Uh-huh.
And the
okay.
friendship is what has made the difference in everything and everywhere.
Okay.
And I think when you are explaining love in
uh-huh.
friendship and having a real friend, we
uh-huh.
want to make sure that we understand that that particular friend really should be sticking closer than a brother.
Okay.
As the scripture says, you know, and we want to love at all times, and there, that kind of love is unconditional.
Okay.
And I think what
Thank
we
you.
Do a lot
Every
of times
time.
Is confuse deep love
mm-hmm.
with unconditional love. It's just we try to come up with feelings, but we may not be able to come up with the feelings, because the feelings is not important as it used to be before we came to Christ. And I'll explain that in
okay.
a minute, but let me get my, I need to answer the phone because I asked my son to do a phone for me. I'll be right back.
Okay, okay. And so, Reverend Ron, I know you probably, mm-hmm. How many real loves have you had?
Real love?
Mm-hmm.
Only two.
Okay.
No, I've had a lot of associates and friends and so forth, but
mm-hmm.
personal real love, too.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when did you realize when you were deeply in love?
When I could look beyond my satisfaction, look beyond my happiness,
mm-hmm.
keep happiness between the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, when she went into her Adamic nature as a woman, me keep
okay.
on loving her in spite of the pain that I was receiving, but because I
uh-huh.
had made a deep, sincere vow to God that I would
mm-hmm.
do like Jesus did, love her even as he loved the church, gave himself for it. But when you
mm-hmm.
put yourself
mm-hmm.
in that position before God, you know, it's nothing to do with self anymore. It's about the oneness of what God loved, marriage. So you get past it, and after you get past it, you'll find that she grew when you were able to be strong in the midst of her academicism.
And I want you to explain what that word you just said, academicism, means to those people who are there in the World Wide Web.
It's the fallen nature of mankind. Either it's the sinful nature, the adulterous nature, it's the fornicating nature, it's the cheating nature, it's the lying nature, it's the fraud nature, it's the nature of fallen man. And that's departed from God even while we live here.
Okay. So basically all the sinful natures are housed under that academic.
All of the attributes of, yes.
Okay.
So she had those.
Mm-hmm.
She had them because, remember now, this lady was 30 years older.
Right.
So, you know, she was experienced in what most people call life.
Mm-hmm.
But still.
Okay.
For me to grow deeper and deeper to say, well, okay, until God do us apart, I had to go beyond her points of discomfort, her points of letdowns, her points of disappointment, because they was in her. But I never did explore her DNA according to God, perfection, life, truth, and wisdom. I wasn't exploring that because I was still caught up with the enjoyment of external formalism.
Okay. So you saw through, well, not saw through, but you loved her through everything, and as it says in what we're going to be reading tonight, you saw her through all, everything, her flaws, her the good, the bad, everything.
So and much so
you
that
loved
it
her,
hurted
you
me.
You deeply loved her. Excuse me?
Mm-hmm. It hurted me. I loved her so much until when she became incapacitated, I hurt it myself helping her.
Okay. Did she know that? Did she understand that?
Yeah,
because
she was hurting she was incapacitated, so I was moving her around. So, yes, she knew it.
Okay.
Well, and that
but
is the kind of love. It sounds like you are describing the kind of love that God wants us to have, and that is till death do us part. And we have to come to the point to where we can look at the physical attributes of people to determine whether we will love them or continue to love them or not. That is in question anymore. The physical attribute is something that we started looking at when we probably first met one another. And I remember how Rodney gave me a gift, and it was in December, and it was a pure white sweater with a belt around it, and the sweater was so nice to me. I thought it was nice, and he helped to win me over all the more with that white sweater. So, you know, it's just but also what I had in my relationship was such that Rodney was always a very caring individual. And he would always make sure that whatever I wanted and whatever my desires were, they were lived out. And it sounds like that's what I'm hearing him describe as well.
Correct, correct. Correct. And Reverend Ron, how long were you two married?
We were married for 14 years.
14 years. I couldn't remember if it was 13 or 14.
But I knew her. I knew her. I knew her 30 years prior.
Okay. Well, you were just in high school, right?
No, I was just a little out. I was with junior college. So I was like 20 years, 22 years old.
Okay.
But at the same time, let me share something. In her Eve actions. So a man has to go deeper than the Eve part of the woman, because Eve is the mother of all living, right? And Eve was the one who had the baby called sin. So sin is in the nature, the flesh of a man or a woman. But the DNA, the perfect DNA of a man or a woman is life, truth, and wisdom. So a man, if he don't get past the Eve fallen part of a woman here in the now, well, he'll never love her.
Okay.
That's why people divorce. Because external formalism promises don't last. If you're riding off the flesh as if that's going to be a solidification of a lifetime marriage, you can forget it.
Okay. Okay. Because I guess I thought I was in love when I was, 26?
Yeah.
I don't know. Let me see. He was 4 years younger than me, so 26, I guess, you know. And he was 22. That's when I got married. I rubbed the cradle every day. And I'm just messing. No, I don't. Okay, I was.
You're great around.
Well, but I did. No, because I look younger than, you know, what people think, and I tell people, I say, what can I do for you? You know, what can I do for you? You know, because it's like they think that I'm about 20 years younger than I really am, at least anywhere between 20 and 25 years younger than I am. And so they think that I'm in my 30s or maybe early 40s. And when I talked to them, I said, excuse me, I don't think you want to ride this rodeo. Because it's like, all I can do is mentor you and tell you how to treat a woman. That's basically all I'm going to do, because these young men are usually like my daughter's age. It's like, I'm sorry, I can't do that. So I would try to, you know, teach them how to, you know, treat a woman. That's what I would do, if anything. Other than that, I'm sorry, I can't do it. I just can't do it.
Remember I said
the hidden one.
Remember I said that my wife was years older than I am, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for a while there, external formalism had me. Because she was able to create history for me with her. So she knew what she was doing, you know? And I was somewhat naive, but I was, what somebody say, I was bobulated, you know, with emotion and sensation by the way she was, she looked, the way she carried herself as a woman.
Okay.
So I was bobulated for a while.
Bobulated or discombobulated?
Well, by both of them in a real sense. But
okay.
Then after a while,
mm-hmm.
when we did marry, because she mm-hmm. was so far older than I was, I had to adapt to a situation come from that academic nature that she had put herself in for smoking cigarettes. So it affected her health later on.
Mm-hmm.
But I was caught up in the point now. It's gone past, you know, the Coke bottle shake and, you know, the pillow talk. It's gone past that now. Because now
okay.
She's looking at me to be her post as a man.
Mm-hmm.
But she can't do very much for herself, though, you know? So
okay.
I had to go on beyond, even though in the process of her being in the shape that she was in, all the time she wasn't the most pleasant person because of her pain, because of what she was doing, because of what she couldn't do. But God opened the eyes of my understanding to always say, Lord, give me strength and let me look at this as if this was me, how I would want to be treated. You know?
Okay. So when you know, said your vows, you know, till death do us part, you know, through thick and thin, blah, 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 so on and so forth. Did you think she'd ever get to the point that she was, or as sickly as she was?
No.
Okay.
Wasn't looking for it.
Okay. Okay. Reverend McCullough, do you think, I know you and Roger been together for, you know, quite a while, so if something ever happened to either one of you, I'm sure, but, you know, the love, and as deep as your love is for each other, each of you would continue to love each other regardless, correct?
That's what we plan. We don't know what the Lord plan is. Other than what the Lord plan is that as well, but we don't know what our plan is.
Okay.
You would think, yes. But, you know,
because even,
you never
even,
know.
Right, because I know I said, you know, if something happened to my husband, you know, if he was in a wheelchair or what have you, I still love him because he still loves me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And even though, you know, they may be down, bedridden or whatever and say, you know, I want you to go live your life, blah, 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 so on and so forth, you know, which is fine and dandy, but that wasn't the contract that we had made when we got married, you know, it was till death do us part. So, you know, but then again, what does a person consider death? Because a marriage can be dead, you know, a person can pass away. So what is considered death of a marriage? And that might even be another good topic to have at some point in time. You know, when
that
is
a good topic to have
dead?
Because many people are living in dead marriages.
And so that would be one topic to ask.
Put it to you this way. Have you ever been
okay.
lonely and in the midst of a whole crowd of people but still lonely?
Yeah.
People have been. I have not been or have experienced that yet, but I know people have experienced that.
Mm-hmm.
Reverend Ron, you were going to say something?
I have experienced that, but I did not let my feelings stop the oneness. Okay? So
okay.
What I remember vividly was I would keep the things that made both of us happy going, even though she was not, you know, able to move and so on, but I would keep the things that we had going when we were both happy she was up moving and blah, blah. I kept that alive because that was just as important for me as it was for her. That was a
right.
fulfillment of my joy as well as it was for her being incapacitated and knowing that there was someone there that cares, really cares.
Right, right.
And that's a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like
mm-hmm.
what you had to do was learn how to adapt to the situation.
But only by the Spirit of God, because I had to talk to God so many times. Because when people in pain, sometimes they put you in pain.
Right.
Trying
and
to figure out is it your
time.
Fault? The reason why they hurt you, you know?
Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. not even physical pain, but also emotional pain as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it's the same. Pain is pain. So if you're going through anything physically and or emotionally, that same pain rubs off to the other individual.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
most
when you
often
can
you're not able, you can hide the emotional pain a lot more than you can the physical pain.
Right. That's right. Because people can see, people can read faces. They can read, you know, when you're hurting or when you're worried or, you know, they can, no matter how hard you try to hide it, they can still read it because if you've been together for a certain amount of time, a person knows you through and through, you know. And, you know, I mean, I watch movies and stuff, and of course you would see the movies, you know, but people can see through your pain. You know, they
mm-hmm.
can tell without even saying anything. They know how much pain you're in, you know, physically and emotionally. They can tell. They really can tell. Go ahead, Reverend Ross.
Well, you know, you can always see, again, I used to
mm-hmm.
see the Eve in her perfect
mm-hmm.
and the Eve in her fallen. And I had to get over
okay.
the fallen to get to the perfect.
Okay. And so how long, I'm just going to ask, how long did that take? Did it take a while? Were you, was it easy for you to do that? Could you identify the difference?
Yes. Yes, because our acquaintance came by way of holiness.
Okay.
When I met her, it was because of holiness and her discipline. All right. Now, even with the fine, you know, even with the coat collar shaping and all this kind of stuff, but our acquaintance came by way of the discipline of holiness that she was practicing as well as I.
Okay. Okay.
But yet Eve, the fallen Eve was there, and the fallen Adam was in me.
So Adam had some faults as well. Or this, would you say
yes.
Adam? Because the Adamic comes from Adam, and I just want people out there to know that Adamic is A-D-A-M-I-C, am I correct?
Right.
Okay, so, because people, I had to have Reverend Ron explain what Adamic meant, because it's like people out there are listening worldwide may not know what that meant or may not have known how to spell it, so I had him explain what that meant, and it's basically all the sins, all of our sins basically fall under that Adamic, I can never say it, Adamic way. So, Reverend McCullough, so how do I want to say this? So, this is the time, and you've been married for how long now, you and Mr. Rod? Reverend Carolyn. Do you have me on mute?
Okay. I'm back in school.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
So how long have you and Reverend Rodney been married?
Too long.
Don't say it too like
long.
That.
We,
how can you be married too long?
Let's see. I keep forgetting how long.
Oh,
it's
been a long time.
I mean, because you've been together for, right, since the 11th grade, you say, correct?
Uh-huh. And we dated for 9 years.
Okay.
I think we've been married for 37 years.
Wow, blessing.
You got it. Because I'm getting ready to be blessing right now.
So your wedding date is coming, or your anniversary is coming up?
May 25th.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, happy anniversary. So it's going to be 38, correct?
Yes. Well, if I did my math right, 1985.
Okay.
May 25th, 1985. 85, 95, 2005.
Because this is 23, so 2 years short of 25. So,
mm-hmm.
So it'd be 38.
Yeah, it'll be a lot. Jewel, come here, girl. I'm sorry, I came out to get something from my car.
Mm-hmm. She wants to be with you.
That dog is going to eat you alive, girl. Come on here.
Wow.
Come on, Jill. I'm sorry, y'all.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. So as we are continuing with the 15 signs of deep love, how deep is your love for me? Have you ever asked this to someone, or has someone ever asked that question of you? How do you express deep love in words? Or rather, can deep love even be described in mere words? Can you know how deep is love if you don't act on it? Actions would always speak louder than words, as we always know, you know. Even deaf people can hear the sound of action, and you would be able to express your deep love for someone by proving it over time. That's what y'all have done. You might not be aware, but you may already be showing your partner how deep is your love for them. First, as I'm recapping, you feel at home. Your heart already knows where it belongs, and so, you know, with the marriage of you two, the lot, length and times of everything, you already know that you felt at home because you all felt comfortable with each other, correct? Hello?
Yeah.
That is correct.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it's okay. So when you all got together, I wish Reverend McCullough would have been on some of our other shows that we talked about all these things, and, you know, how comfortable you can be with your mate, and, you know, did you have pros and cons before you got married? But, you know, in the 11th grade, you don't think about no pros and no cons. All you see is puppy love. You look at each other, and you just, you know, you don't see anybody else. You don't see anything else. You just see each other. The world revolves around you, so... You know, you're all on your own little earth and your own little world, so you don't see nothing else. So,
but until something goes wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right, until something goes wrong, and then there's a tilt in the atmosphere. There's a shift in the atmosphere. So, I'm just laughing at some of the conversations that people are texting me. Number two is you focus on the problem and not on the partner. Do you all do that a lot of times, focus on the problem, not on the partner? Or, because communication is the main thing that in a relationship. I mean, if you don't communicate, you might as well just give up. you might as well just give up, because if you don't get it out and people are just wondering, you know, you try to be putting words in somebody else's mouth. That's not what I meant. Why don't you just ask me what I meant? Well, I did try to ask you, but you wouldn't answer. Well, you didn't ask in the right way, so everything gets all out of sorts and what have you. So communication is key in all the relationships, regardless. And anything you do, just communicate. So even if you are deeply in love, you still face problems and issues in your relationship, which is true. That's just life. You can't avoid disagreements and misunderstandings. That is true. So what you do is you focus on the problem and not on your partner, because a lot of times there's problems out there that both of you can solve if you work together. Am I not correct?
Yes.
You are perfectly correct.
See, the problem is only as big as a person makes it, or as small as the person makes it, and as difficult as the person makes it, or as easy as the person makes it. And it doesn't even really have to be a problem if you talk about it. There could be more of a solution than there is a problem. I just, you know, hope to find that person who I can live out the rest of my life with, you know, if that ever happens, if they can put up with me. But anyway, that's neither hither nor thither. It's not about me tonight. 3. You can sacrifice for them. And that's what it sounds like Reverend Ron did. He did a lot of sacrificing for his wife because of her illnesses and her sickness and what have you. Is that not correct?
A lot of it. A lot of it. A lot of it. Mm-hmm. A lot of it. Mm-hmm. When I say a lot of it, I'm going to... But you know what?
A lot
of it. I feel good.
What?
I feel good. I feel good. You know why? Because I accomplished something. You know, I accomplished something. I was able to examine myself. I was able to examine myself as a man with God for his wife. I could examine myself. Well, yeah, you were there, sickness or health. You were there.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you did your part. May have not been all the time the most pleasant situation, but I got through it through the help of God. Because sometimes I would say, God, give me the strength.
Right,
to endure,
right.
To endure,
right.
And then the spirit of truth would always fine tune my mind with, you want to be as nice to her as you would want her to be to you. If this was
if you were in the same, if they rolled
so
over,
so it gave me an extra sense of, okay, I could deal with her Eve's actions at times. You know, she had Eve attributes. Most women do. Most men have Adam attributes in some cases. But with the Lord, with the spirit of truth in my blood, wisdom and life in my blood, I want to see her live. You know, the truth in my blood and wisdom gave me how to handle her with the truth. And then with that happening, then we will always go back to laughing and having fun with each other, without having to be at the amusement parks, without having to be in the conventional setting, we still had genuine fun. We laughed. It was to go on and go on. But at the same time, I'm saying, if you continuously love, the scriptures say continue ye in this way, continue doing the right thing that you committed to do. And God will show you a more excellent way. He'll show you how to be more loving. And the love will be so deep until it will be inseparable.
Right. And then once, you know, her transition made, was it as painful, was it?
No, because, you know, she had confessed Christ and she loved the Lord. And I knew that. See, she's alive. She's alive. She's alive. But we're just in two different worlds. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
She is alive. Weren't you? Yeah. So, but at the same time, the communication that we have is the communication we had before she passed, and that's in God.
Okay.
So we're still inseparable. We're still together, because Jesus said, He said, "You shall not be given in marriage nor marriage in the resurrection," he said, "but ye all shall be as the angels of God. So we still have a oneness, but it's just not the earthly oneness that we had when she was here.
Okay.
But we thought on these things. We thought on God. We prayed. We laughed. Mm-hmm. We had fun in love. So that's still what they're doing in heaven. As it is in heaven, so it is on the earth. So if our action was... Okay. There we go.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh.
Superseding the expectations. Superseding the expectations. Yeah.
Okay. And Reverend McCullough.
Yes, ma'am.
So I'm sure you all sacrificed things in your marriage of 38 years. It wasn't always a bed of roses. How did you get through those times that you had to, come to the aid or of each other? Was it through prayer? Was it through sacrifice? Was it through, supplication?
Well, I'm not going to tell you the truth. And I'm serious about this. I might as well tell you the truth. If I was not a holy woman, I would not be with your husband today.
Okay.
If I was not a holy woman, and it is only because of the love of God that I'm able to say that I withstood and stood firm to do all I needed to do and be in Christ.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So
that's fair.
I say to young people especially, we need to come to know Jesus, and women especially need to stay. And always try to make sure that you are standing when things are not going correctly. So, and that happens. Somebody, the scripture says you have to bear the infirmities of the weak. And so we are all going to be weak at points and times in our lives. And we need somebody to stand with us and for us. And when we have that, that is what helps to make it easier. And see, for me, Rodney was, I had more good than bad, which made me always have to think about the good and not allow the bad to outweigh the good. So that made a difference for me.
Okay. So you had to stay firm and stay under the blood of God to keep you strong to go through what you had to go through.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And that makes you even stronger today, because people can look at you and say, I'm still standing, as they say. I'm still standing. And, with God's help, that's how you are. You're still standing. Otherwise, you could have been a different outcome today if you weren't in the arms of God, as you say, in the care of God.
Yes, ma'am. I could have been divorced and with somebody else.
But God said no until death do his part, like you said. We may talk about the death of a marriage because, what was that movie, The Death of a Salesman? So,
every time the death of the salesman in movies. So,
say that again, please.
I said you will lose me every time when you talk about movies.
Oh, okay. That's an old movie. That's really old movie. I think it's older than me, but it's The Death of a Salesman. It's an old movie. Okay, as we go on, how deep is your love? Are you willing to sacrifice for the person you love? Y'all said yes.
if you do, then that's one of the signs of deep love. So y'all have some deep-rooted love, not just deep love, but deep-rooted love. It's like it ain't going nowhere, love, even though it may, you know, it may get tugged on and mowed and, you know, weeded and what have you, and thatched and aerated. You still yet I'd be holding on, as they say. Still yet I'd be holding on. So that's mm-hmm. deep love. And number four, no need to keep secrets. One of the most important love techniques to strengthen a relationship is to be honest. Did you know that when you feel deep love, this comes naturally? Deep love is transparent, no secrets, no pretension. So have you all ever kept secrets from each other's love? I'm gonna start with Reverend McCullough.
Not too much, I don't think. But it's hard to say because you never know who's really telling you the truth. So it's hard to really say that we've never kept secrets from each other. Now, I can say for myself, I did not. But secrets also have a way of coming out also.
And
so
they do.
That is the place you don't want to venture.
Okay, okay. Reverend Ron?
Yeah, some things I just wouldn't tell her. Because I was scared it may hurt her.
Okay.
I think that is the position that men take anyway. Because men,
okay.
But now I wasn't cheating or nothing. I ain't talking about no infidelity or anything like that. But there was things that I kept from her because I didn't want her to be worried, upset, or hurt us.
I ain't talking about no infidelity
or, you know, going out cheating. No, I don't believe in that because it's too much dangerous tricks that the devil can play with you out there. No, but
okay.
business things, some things I did not tell her, you know, and there were some things that she tried to hold back on me on, but then later on she had to tell me, you know, so I never did worry about her really keeping a secret from me because she was going to tell me sooner or later.
Yeah. Women are hard for women to keep secrets. Well, they say telegram, tell a woman, just the telephone. You want something out in the airways? Tell a woman. I think it's www.tellawoman.com. I'm not sure, but that's funny.
Well, you know, we are in that deep love stage. We'll share as well.
Okay.
We'll let people know how we're.
Okay. Number five, you want to be better. Do you want to know how deep your love is? It's when you want to be a better person. Deep love makes you want to be a better individual. I mean, you know, you just want to be the best person that you could be so that person can just love you through and through, even as I say, M-O better, B-E-T-T-A-H, more better, because, you know, you just want to be the best person. You just want that person to love you through and through. Is that not correct? I mean, the better you are, then the better they become. Okay. And we're just recapping, so. And because it's like, because a lot of times the person who you're with makes you a better person. Man, I couldn't have been this good if it wasn't without you. I'm just so lost. I just, you know, I don't know what I would have done without you. You have made me a better person. You hear that a lot of times. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true.
So because you just want to shine and you want the person to shine. So you want to all shine together as two bright lights. You know,
right.
Just, you know, You want to make other people jealous and say, hey, look what I have. See what I have. You know, you can't do any better than I have, but, you know, but everybody has their own little circle of love and what have you. But that's just how it seems to be. That's just how it seems to be.
Mm-hmm.
Number six, respect your partner. Respect is one of the foundations of deep love. Deep love is when you respect your partner as a person. You don't treat them like a dog. You don't, you know, just throw them in the corner and throw bones at them and you know, throw the leftovers. You put them, bring them to the table, you know, and, respect them the same way. You don't shame them out in public. You don't, you know, what do you call it?
You don't make them feel bad. You don't make them feel debated, you know?
No. Right, that's it, yeah. Degrade them. You don't degrade them in public. You know, you wait till you get home, and then you talk about a situation. You just act like nothing happened, and I'm gonna get you when we get home. But keep smiling with Alfie. Oh goodness, oh my goodness! But that's what you do. If you love somebody, you're gonna respect them. You know, just like you respect somebody else at work or anywhere else, or you know, anywhere else, you would respect your partner, and that should be the first person you would respect. If I, you know. How I was there.
Right.
That would be the first person to say because
my son is calling me to fix this document for me.
Okay, okay. All right, if you want to come back, come on back, okay? All right, number seven, your partner becomes your best friend. I think that's what happened with Reverend McCullough. Rodney was her best friend, you know, from 11th grade. You know, they locked eyes, and then that was it. You know, that was that's all they wrote. They became friends. Do you know one of the secrets of a lifetime of love? It's when you view each other as best friends. Deep love is being best friends with your partner. And a lot of times, you know, as I said before, when people get married, they say, I married my best friend. And some people get together, and they don't want to hurt their best friend, so they don't tell people how they feel, you know, about anything. So it's like it's real hard to be best friends because, you know, you don't want to hurt, you know, you don't want to become best friends because you don't want to hurt the one that you love. But sometimes you need to become best friends so that you don't hurt the one you love. Is that not true?
Well, I wanted to go beyond best friends, you know, in my marriage.
Okay.
You know, best friends, they can do each other in, you know what I mean? I want to be one totally, you know, and you can't be totally one if you are since your best friend because you don't do what totally one people do. Otherwise, you have passed the boundaries of best friend.
Okay.
If you go into the stages, if you go into the stages of oneness with a best friend, you would have passed the stages of respect, or as friendship is concerned, you have gone into something else.
Okay. So, and as you had talked about before, number eight, you accept your partner even their flaws. Most couples experience falling out of love after the honeymoon period of the relationship. Deep love allows you to accept your partner even their flaws. And so, you know, and sometimes people can't accept what flaws other people have. So that puts a damper on the relationship, and then next thing you know, you don't have a relationship. You don't have a marriage. You're just done. You're just like, I don't want to be bothered. I'm sorry, you know. You like to gamble, you know. Or you like to...
You didn't tell me
you
this
like
up front.
Porn. Right. Or you may like porn. Or you may like, you know something else. Is like, all these little innuendos is like... And I wish Joe was on the line because he would have that little list of pros and cons. And so... when you start a relationship with, you know, what have you, it's nice to have that little check-off list or cheat sheet or what have you when you encounter a new person or a partner who you feel like you want to become deeply in love with because you just have those feelings for them.
Well,
see, regardless, you know,
if you're deeply in love, you're
uh-huh.
gonna keep each other happy. You're gonna keep each other happy.
Okay.
If you're deeply in love and it's past self, if it's past any way a form of separatism, then you're
mm-hmm.
gonna keep each other happy. You know what I mean? You want her to be, if you're really into it for life, then you want to keep her happy without
mm-hmm.
your efforts failing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You want to keep each other. Let me say it this way. You want to keep each other happy without your efforts failing. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And
mm-hmm.
and what happens to keep your efforts from failing, then you have to be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And that's
okay.
all the time. That's in the morning.
All
that's
the
in
time.
The evening.
Mm-hmm.
That's at
mm-hmm.
night. That's every time you look at her, you want to have joy expression. You don't want to tear into her with no bad expression. You want her to be joyous as she was from day one until Jesus say that's it.
Okay. Okay.
In other words, you never
okay.
stop being, you never stop being a star in her eyes. She never, if she loves you, she ain't gonna never stop being a star in your eyes. She gonna advance herself to make things better. You're gonna advance yourself to make things better, because why? This person here you're concerned about. When you look at that person, you look at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're taking care
mm-hmm.
of that person, you want to take care of that person like you take care of yourself. You want her to be happy with how you take care of her. You want him
right.
to be happy how you take care of them. Because if they're happy,
mm-hmm.
if they got that beautiful sensation of love, you finna have a good
mm-hmm.
life. And ain't nothing too good for you.
Mm-hmm. Right. Nothing too good at all.
You don't really love. You don't really love a person deeply, if you value things over them.
Mm-hmm.
If you
okay.
respect their money and not their presence, you don't really
mm-hmm.
really love them. If you respect
okay,
their money
mm-hmm.
and not their presence,
mm-hmm.
then you don't really love them. You appreciate the stability of the money, but you could do without them. And most of the time when people have that situation going on, when they get the money,
mm-hmm.
then they go on and out there and share it with someone else who they really want to go all the way out
want
for.
Want to be with.
Cause,
right.
Yeah, because
right.
the person you really love, you're willing to go all the way out for them. And that's how a lot of people get messed around and hurt and all like that, because they say, I'm going all the way out because this person is who I thought that person was, but I found out it wasn't the person at all. It was a person, they were there for you as long as you could, you know, afford them.
Do everything for them.
But when your abilities to afford them and stop them from doing what they want to do, well, then
mm-hmm.
you can forget it. You can forget it.
Mm.
So don't respect my money and not my presence, because you tell me automatically you don't give a darn about me. You want the money.
Gotcha. He's stepping on some toes out there, y'all. And if you want to join in the conversation, it's 845-241-9985, 845-241-9985. And the subject is, how deep is your love, part two. And we have another person who has joined us today. And 2315, and I believe that my buddy Dustin, is that you?
It is.
Well, greetings. How are you doing?
Hello, everybody.
Hello, hello, hello. Hello, hello, hello. Yes, we are talking, we are recapping, but we haven't gotten that far in our recap, so we've just been going through and just talking about some of the different, how deep is your love is. There's about 15 signs is what I've come through, of how deep is your love. And we're on number 8 at this time, is as you accept your partner, even their flaws. So how do you feel? I mean, because I know that, you know, you've gone through some things, a lot of things. So I won't say how many. Sorry for laughing at you. But, I mean, you're the type of person, quit laughing. You and Reverend Ron, you and that laughter's got to go. I'm tired of y'all laughing at me. But, no, I mean, how did you know when you first felt like you were deeply in love, you know, was it with your, you know, your wife?
First time or?
Girlfriend?
Anytime. The first time or?
First time, second time?
Anytime.
Yeah, first time, anytime, all the time, real time.
How I felt?
How did you know it was deep love?
When nothing else mattered. You couldn't breathe. You couldn't sleep. You couldn't eat. You weren't damn near connected at the hip 24/7 for the first part of it.
Okay.
For the first part. That was the first indicator. I'm like, wait a minute.
Something ain't right here.
Everything that you think of this person had to be a part of it.
Okay.
And then as you go along, all of a sudden, that feeling of infatuation, that feeling of lust and the passion and all the other things, when those things start leveling off, and, you know, people use the word dying down. It's not dying down. It's leveling off, you know, because, you know, you're not going 24 hours a day. You're not spending every waking moment. Life happens, and, you know, you get to a level, comfortable median. And where it's every part of it is a, I don't want to use the word routine, but right, I don't know what other word would be suitable for that. But once you get past all those things, it's the point where your protection of that person. Not just physical protection, but your mental, your physical, your social, your sexual, every part of you that makes you you wants to protect that person. And it's overwhelming. It's not a, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there. It's every part of you. And when they're in pain, you're in pain. When they're happy, you're happy. When they're you know, all of these swing of emotions that happens when you're in a relationship, all of those things truly affect you. You know, it's like I've seen grown men cry just because a little girl was crying. That's not the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you see your partner and she is in pain, you know, physical, mental, social, family, whatever, it bothers you, and it bothers you to a different level. And then you turn around and your first instinct is try to help the best you can, but you start looking at the sacrifices you'd be willing to do to make sure they're happy. And
okay.
It's not because you have to cut off your nose to spite your face or, you know, anything of that nature. No. You know, what is the most important part about that? What is important? You know, what is the thing that she needs the most? And you think about that all the time. And you long to hear her voice. You long to get a hug. You long to see her smile. You, that middle of the night when she rolls over and just puts her hand just on your side or where, whatever position you're in, she just touches you. You might be sound asleep, but that touch wakes your whole entire body up. And it's only for a brief moment. But it's nothing that she's doing, and it's nothing you're doing. It's just that touch that she reached out in the middle of the night, and once she felt you, she was back to where she was, sleep and safe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's that part of it. When you know it and you feel it, there's no partials in it. Either you are or you aren't. You know,
okay.
People will say all the time, well, I think I'm in love. No, you're in love. You know if you are and you know if you're not. There's no, people always say that there's a gray line, I think I'm falling for this person. No, you already fell
mm-hmm,
for that person.
Mm-hmm.
It's the simple fact mm-hmm. that you're contemplating it is the fact of where you are. And people are all, oh, well, I wasn't really all the way in love with her. Yes, you were. Or, no, you weren't.
don't put up that lie.
Don't put up that lie. No, you weren't. Well, why? Because you let that good woman walk right out of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Got me?
Yeah,
same,
I'll listen to
women.
What he's saying now.
So, I don't know, because you women do it the same way. You'll let a
mm-hmm.
good man walk out of your life with no fight. If I'm in love with
mm-hmm.
you, and
mm-hmm.
if I'm in love with you, in my part, it might not be the truth
mm-hmm.
for you. But in my truth, if I'm in love with you and I feel no matter what, we can work it out, you're not finna, no, you finna. You ain't dragging no bags out my house. You ain't going nowhere. We gonna sit here. You can be mad. I'm gonna be on the couch. And when you feel that we could talk about whatever it is that we gotta talk about. Now, if it's something stupid I did, you know, the cardinal sins, I get it. That's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
But just for you
right.
to be angry because I ain't do the dishes, I ain't take out the trash, something stupid that a lot of really good couples break up for. No. No.
Okay.
No. But, you know, that's what love's about. You know, you see
mm-hmm.
these women and you see these men, you know, they get into these arguments and they're angry and they'll get out and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they're doing the same meme a week later. Oh, I love this boo. Yeah, you do. You do. You don't let what you love go like that. You don't, well, not without a fight. Not without a fight.
Right.
You know, if I screw up and I did something bad. Yeah,
right.
You don't let them
love them.
If I did something bad, if I did something bad, you know, it, whatever it may be, if I did something that I know is bad, even if I committed one of the cardinals, if that woman really meant what I say she meant to me and I really felt that way,
mm-hmm.
we going to every counseling. We doing all that. And I'm going to pray that she forgive me a little bit. I don't even need a lot of it. I just need a little bit. You know, then please. Because I've screwed it up.
Okay.
You know, men and women both believe the grass is greener on the other side until they get over there and they realize somebody spray paint
the grass.
Dirt.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
is that
nothing but green dirt. Green dirt. That's all it is. I'm like, what's that company? I can't say the company name, but y'all know little tanker trucks come up, spray the ground, and all of a sudden it's green.
Oh, not permagreen. What is that? It's like permagreen, but
right. But
I know
you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
I'm not giving them
mm-hmm,
any.
Mm-hmm.
Good, I ain't giving them no good reviews because they ain't doing nothing but spray paint your grass. Watercolors. You look. We'll be back in 2 weeks and charge you again.
Right, until it rains. Okay,
right.
You're so funny.
Just saying.
You're so funny. He's, I'm just saying. Okay, so you knew when love was deep when you started falling head over heels over somebody and you just couldn't live without him, you couldn't breathe.
Jordan
Sparks and Chris Brown says, I can't breathe.
It's not that part is not when you're in love. That part is when all of your physical needs is being met more and abundantly than you ever have. That's why I said when you level off, your physical needs as a man are being met and your mental needs are starting to be met. All of us men have met that one or two or three chicks that have just walked in their life, and it's like, oh, my, OMG. And when you she responds back to you, you're on a level of, oh, yes, finally, I got me this. And right then you're infatuated. You're infatuated. You just,
that's
every part of that
infatuation stage.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. And then after that levels off, all of a sudden it's the hey, babe, what you doing? I'm on my lunch break. I'm messing around. Forgot my lunch at work. Well, I'm only about 10 minutes from you. I'm going to bring you something to eat, okay? Meet me outside. Whoa. Oh, wait a minute. But let the roles be reversed. What you doing, baby? Oh, no, I'm on lunch. I ain't got nothing to eat. I'll be there in a few minutes. It's not a competition, but it's a... If you are
give and take,
if you are any, if anything in your life is not happy, because the number one thing for men, most of the men that I know and I talk to on a daily basis, I just want to see my baby smile. That's it. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because if she's smiling, any little minute thing that I might need in my life is going to happen. That's it.
Y'all listen to him. Y'all got to listen to him. Go ahead.
If you don't take the time and realize when somebody says to you, if I take care of you and I know you're good, I'm good by default, that is a powerful statement. Powerful. And if you're not willing to make the person that you're with good, because you know if you make them good, you're good. All of a sudden you look up and it's a two-way street. You two are making you two good so that you two are good by default. That just shows how strong of a man you are and how strong of a woman that you have.
Well,
And
can I share something on that?
Sure. This is my buddy, Pastor.
Yeah.
Reverend Ron.
Hey, Pastor.
Ron Isley.
Hey, how's it going? How's it going, Jeff?
How you doing, Reverend Ron, my buddy?
All right. Thank God. How's everything going? Well, for the most part, if a man supersedes a woman's expectations in every facet, then she would pretty much follow you. If a man supersedes a woman's expectation in every facet, then she'll pretty much follow you because you're now in a position to teach her or cultivate her because you supersede what she thought should be and vice versa. If a woman supersedes a man's expectation, then he's willing to be one with her. If you give me just what I'm used to, then you won't be done taking me anywhere beyond the sensations I've experienced already. If you give me what I'm used to, you won't be able to take me beyond the sensations that I've experienced already. So that'll do little for me. But if you could expand my knowledge, if you could enhance me in ways that my life needs enhancing, if you could share wisdom and if you could share knowledge, then that makes me look at you from a standpoint of view of a spinoff of Eve being perfected. Not Eve being academic.
Okay. Okay. Y'all catch all that? Okay.
I did. I'm sorry. I put my phone on mute and couldn't figure out it wouldn't turn back off. You are absolutely right, Reverend. And the most important part of that, and a lot of people miss it, is that is a two-way street. I would, if I'm giving you 100% of me, Mm-hmm. The bare minimum that I ask from you is 100% of you.
Nothing is wrong with that.
And if let's just say I'm giving you 100%, but the best that you know how to do is 75%. As I continue to give you this 100%, it does nothing but make you strive harder to reach that 100%. Because if you're not evenly yoked with that person, if you guys aren't on the same page, or not even on the same page, that's a poor choice of words, I'm sorry. If you guys aren't on the same energy, it would be impossible for you to move forward in life and try to create anything else until you guys have that same mutual energy. And where we get it confused is if I do, you know, if I cut the grass and I change the oil and I take out the trash and I change the ceiling fan, if I do those things and all you did for me was cook, that is not in the same. The one don't have nothing to do with others, but that's where the comparison. Or just let's flip it over. The lady, I cooked all the meals. I washed your clothes. I gave you some nookie when you asked for it the other morning. All you did is go to work. Wait a minute. Okay.
It's not like that.
That's like energy. That's like electricity and water. None of that. You can't mix that no way. You can't. Mm. So when you're really truly yoked with somebody, mm-hmm. and you match energies, you stop looking at what you did for that person, and you start looking at the the fact that she, like I'll use my example from earlier, she cooked me. All she did for me is cook me meals. But she also, before she cooked that meal, she thought about what she was going to make for me. She went to the store. She got the food. She used her money to buy the food. She didn't use my money. She used her money. She took the hour and a half that it took to make that food. And because I was late coming home from work, it sat there and she kept it perfect for me until I walked in that door. And when I walked in that door, the first words out of her mouth, outside of I missed you that day, is I give you a hug, a kiss, baby, wash your hands. Let's sit down. The food will be on the table in a second. And she didn't do that just once a week. She's done that for you every day or almost every day. And if she didn't cook, she ordered whatever it was that she fed, whatever she needed to feed, and she made sure that in the microwave you had a plate of food. So when you came home, all you had to do was wash your hands and sit down and eat.
Or just tell her what you
didn't have. Okay. That's it. And that's the part that people get so stuck on is, you know, oh, I'm the breadwinner. I go to work. I pay all these bills. I do all this. I do all that. Well, you know, I got an easy task for you. This is what I want you to do. Is I want you to go to work. And while you're at work and you do your job and you get your paycheck, I just want you to come home and set it on the counter. Just set that bill on the counter. And I want you to stand in front of the stove until food appears. I want you to open your refrigerator and see how and wait for it to get empty. I want you to go up and keep doing this and doing this, and I want you to go in your closet and let me know when your clothes get washed. And let me know when your bills get paid, because all your checks are still sitting on the counter. You did all this work, you did it, but that person that's with you maintains your house. And it can go both ways. It's not man to woman or woman to man. It is team to team. If you're in a relationship, now if you're doing it by yourself, then absolutely. You can toot your own horn to yourself. But if you come, if you're the breadwinner or you're the person at home, it doesn't matter which direction it goes. But everything that you didn't have to do at home, you judge that. You take that and you count all of that stuff up. And then it gets real sweet. It gets super awesome sweet when, like me, I'm in construction. And if anybody's been in construction or ever did any work around the house or ever had a tool, what are one things the tools do? They break.
They break.
But they break. Every tool that I've ever had has broke at least once.
Right.
And, you know, it's the points and times when you come home and your significant other pays so much attention to you and listens to you so intently when you're at work or whenever you decide to call them and you're having a bad day because you just broke a tool. And we'll just use a drill, for example. Your favorite drill, a Makita 69M compact super drill. It's one of the best made on this market. And it broke. And it's a $300 drill. And you have to go to work with old sorry Ryobi. They take 20 batteries to get 6 screws in. You're mad at the world. And you come home and you sit down in your favorite chair. And you look to the side of your favorite chair and there's a red bag sitting right there. And you know that red bag, but it's unfamiliar to you. And you open it up. And it's not only the exact same drill you had. It's the clutch drill that's got 310 torque pounds. And it's brand spanking new with 2 batteries and a charger. You ain't asked for that. You ain't budget for that. But that person that's with you enjoys you and believes in you and trusts you and loves you so much that she's paid attention. So when you lost your drill, she took the money that she was going to do something else with. And she bought you that drill. Not just because she wants you to keep going to work. She just wants to know you're happy just like she happy.
Right on. Oh.
And once you see that and you get it and you have somebody that's doing that for you, it's kind of funny. Because once you get it, that's where, and I'm not using the word competition, but that is really where the competition starts. Because now you're both trying everything you can to make sure that they are the happiest that they can be. And that's where a true love and relationship blossoms. Because now you're doing nothing but making each other happy. You
that's
hear your girl
and
go,
and that's what it should be.
That's what it should be. And what's funny is we do it. Well, I can't say that for women. But as right now in this world, we let some of the best people we could have ever had, we could have had that with them. And my story, I don't have a problem saying it. I just said it to Inez not too long ago. What I was looking for in a woman, what I needed, what just somebody to love me back unconditionally.
And it didn't exist.
It didn't exist at all. Nowhere. And I have loved everybody, 100%, head over heels. Please, Jesus, I got you, everything. And just, yes, I laugh at it myself, like, damn, I wish.
Well, he didn't love me, though. He didn't love me, so I don't even know.
Inez, I want to hear your mouth. I want to hear your mouth. I want to hear your mouth, Inez. I want to hear your mouth. But Reverend Run,
but
when you...
She was right
when the
there
light bulb,
all the time.
When the light bulb goes off, I'm not listening to her. I'm not even listening to her. When the light bulb goes off, I'm telling you, that is how it went. It was like, click, click, click. You know, I'm. It's funny. Y'all seen Finding Nemo, right? I know all y'all have. Y'all had to see Finding Nemo. You remember when Dory first met Nemo, and she was kind of swimming along like, oh, and all of a sudden her brain clicked, and it went through the whole thing, and she was like, oh, my God, you're Nemo. That is the best way I can describe what happened to me. That is the best way I can do it. Like, I said, oh, my God, you right here. Right effing here. Right here. You've been right here the whole damn time. I'm so stupid. And you know what? It is amazing to me that in less than 4 months, I've known her for 15 years, in less than 4 months, it has been at least 16, 17 years since I felt this.
You got it.
It's different. It's different.
You got it.
It's different. And I flirt and I talk shit, talk stuff to everybody. I'm the same guy, and no matter what, I'm just looking at the menu now. I'm just not ordering nothing. I'm going home. I'm going home. No, I'm good. Thank you. No. Yes, you are.
You're beautiful. Appetizers.
Awesome. I agree. Not even appetizers. You know what? No, I don't even want appetizers. I just look at the menu and be like, hey, let me see what that looks like. Oh, yeah, that looks nice. Okay, I'm good. Go home.
But you know what? Can I say something? If you got that, if a man got that kind of woman, he got somebody that really, really love him.
Mm-hmm.
And he should rejoice, because nowadays in this modernistic world that we live in, it's difficult to find them that love themselves, let alone you.
Say it again. Say it again. Say it
so
again.
If a man or a woman, Justin said it, if a man or a woman have that blessing. Buddy, young lady, you ought to hold on to it with all that's within you.
Mm.
Because I'm going to tell you something. Those people are hard to find.
Yes.
And you know what? You're right. But you know the sad part is? And you are absolutely right. They are hard to find. But you know what? There's a whole bunch of them. But these women or men are so stuck on the, you got to have six figures and you got to have a BBL and you better keep yourself and all those things.
Most of them that want it ain't got it.
Amen. But they will sit and let these beautiful men and women walk out their lives.
Pass them by.
You're just a garbage man.
Yeah,
I am. You're just a garbage man.
What's the difference between a garbage man diamond ring and a rich man diamond ring, if it's real?
Right.
If you could tell me the difference between diamonds other than size, and my point I was making about being a garbage man, most people laugh about being a garbage man, but if you look at the national average salary of a garbage man, it's almost $100,000 a year. Almost $100,000.
More than some of the professors.
You see him stinking every day. That's what that is? Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, he's stinking every day. Have you ever been to his house? I'm not going to his house. He probably lives in some dirty apartment. Okay. All right. Well, it sucks to be you. Girl, I met this garbage man. What's wrong with you? Why would you date a garbage man? Girl, he got a M5, and he live in a 4,500-square-foot home, and he own it outright. And he got big-screen TVs all over the place. Well, let me meet him. Oh, you with him? He ain't got that. Oh, yeah, he do.
Mm.
And look at the ring he just bought me because he's trying to get married, just because he's my friend and he promised that he'll love me forever. That's my promise ring. Mm. That ain't my engagement. Damn, girl, it's bigger than your engagement ring. Mm, that's a shame. And that garbage man will love you to pieces.
Until death
that
be
garbage
all
part. That female truck driver will love you to pieces.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to be physically attracted to him, but the odds of you getting, what's the girl name? Shania Latham, or what's the dude that he played the the Aquaman.
Oh,
now,
Mimosa?
You getting, yeah, Mimosa. If you find Mimosa, most of the time, Momoa, whatever his name is, if you find him, some gold-digging stink heifer done already got a clause all in him. And by the time he ready for you, I don't like you. You probably a player. He probably bored and by himself right now because you let him walk away. You let him go on. You ain't show that man a little bit of love. You ain't show that woman no
nothing.
Sort of love. Nothing. Nothing at all. And it's sad. It's just sad. There's so many good people looking for good people.
You know, between the misconception of culture, between the misconception of environmental upbringing, people think that because they treat you bad, you love them. And they think, in civilized life right here today, they think that they got the notion that if you respect them, they think you looking up to them, so they think that they could treat you terrible, and you're supposed to be in love with the terrible treatment.
Yep.
Talking about that's the way it goes. No. If you have experienced love as God is in perfection, but let's look at something, y'all. If people are not healed from past pain,
right,
they cannot be a candidate of giving true love.
Absolutely. Not only that, Reverend, you just said a whole bunch right then. The when I was 10 years old, I moved to my dad. And when I was with my dad, the very first one of his friends that I met was his best friend, Ben. And he had a daughter, and her name was Sarah. And the very first time I saw Sarah, I was in love with Sarah. They're 10 years old. And throughout the next 34 years, that love did not change not one bit. I cried true tears at her wedding. Every instant that I got a chance to give her a hug was my moment of pure happiness.
Fulfillment.
And when I finally got the opportunity, I had, you know, that liquid courage will do it for you every time. Just say it to her. Do you know I have been loving you since I was 10 years old? And you get a laugh. Oh yeah. You get a chuckle, but you also get that, wow, really? Well, why didn't you say anything? And then you're in an instant state of bliss.
Mm-hmm.
And all of your dreams, your fantasies, everything all of a sudden falls into place. But when you love somebody, and this is the part that I had to explain and allow people to see what happened. When I realized, no, listen, Reverend, that part is funny, but the serious side of what I'm going to say is,
I'm listening.
When I actually got to start dating her and being in her just existence, I was happy. I mean, the world just was perfect as far as I was concerned. But what I realized is that she was just now coming out of all of her trauma. Everything she went through, she lost her husband. She, you know, had things that were going on that were just she is just now getting healed from it and just now starting to breathe and open her arm, you know, open her wings and just be able to live. Knowing that and seeing that from a distance and being madly in love with her, but being so much in love with her to be able to say, who am I to try to lock you into some sort of relationship or anything that might remotely be a demand of time when you're just now setting your watch? That's love. As much as I've loved this woman for 35 years, I knew that she could not, at that point in time, give me the love that I need, require, I want, all of those things. I knew it. And it hurt. Because the woman I wanted to be with for 35 years, and I finally had, and would have worked out probably, but it had been so unfair. It was just bad timing. That's all. Just bad timing. And in the midst of that realization, God was like, you know what? You have been through all of the stuff that I need you to go through. You are ready for what I have had in store for you. And in a blink of an eye, not only have I found exactly what I need, but exactly what I want. And it's amazing to me. It is truly amazing. Because even in that situation and the way that it came about and the things that have happened since then, she's still my friend. And she, after talking to her and explaining to her where, how this whole thing came out, she was like, wow. And I was like, that's the best way I can tell you I love you unconditionally. I love you more than what society says. I would rather want you to be away from me, fly, and be free and be able to love somebody the way I love you. That's love. And it doesn't get any purer than that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if she grabs that piece.
Let's look at it.
She couldn't at the time.
At the time, no.
Because she was still hiding. She had a facade going. So she could not accommodate. Or she couldn't give love, nor really could she receive love at that particular time. What she was able to receive was perhaps accommodation for his necessities, but she couldn't give love nor receive love at the time.
Not at the level that creates good, healthy love. And that's the important part. You know, people jump into these relationships and it's, you know, they're like, I need. But it really should be, what can I do?
Right.
How can I ease that pain? How can I help you walk through? If you hadn't been through it, and if you're just now coming out, what is the best thing that would help you grow? I might have just been the break in your life and shown you unconditional, so that when whoever it is that God has designed for you comes into your life and goes, hey, I'm right here, and I'll love you unconditionally. Oh, you will? Well, I know what it looks like. And if you can't do what it looks like, I'm sorry, you're not for me. And all of a sudden that man or that woman shows you that true unconditional love because you felt it, you have it. And once you've had it, it's worse than any crack or anything else on earth. It is the most addicting thing ever. It's the truth.
Yeah.
And once you have it, you will try again and again until you get it. And once you do, It's like I said, that little light bulb goes off like, bing, food's done, dinner's ready. Right now, here it is. Yes, no, no, and you're not going nowhere. I got all, both my hands, my body wrapped around you, and my legs are locked in. Sorry, you're not going nowhere. Nowhere.
With someone like that in your life, you don't want to go nowhere but home.
Absolutely.
Because you got every woman in the when this is from experience on my end.
Mm-hmm.
When a woman really loves a man, he don't have to ask her for something. He don't have to tell her that he wants something. She automatically knows.
Automatically.
Now somebody say, now how is that so? Well, in her blood, in her flowing blood, life, truth, and wisdom. That's in her DNA from the spinoff of perfection. So she automatically,
like breathing, it just happens. Ain't no nothing about it. I ain't have to tell myself to take a breath. That just happens.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell y'all, and I love telling this story because it's the sexiest couple thing I've ever seen in my life. Norfolk, Virginia, Super Bowl. One of my lieutenants off the boat threw a Super Bowl party, and him and his wife had been together for a billion years, and they had that relationship. Like, they just did. And they catered this party, and there was food and liquor and TVs. Like, they put in extra TVs in the kitchen. Like, everywhere you sat, you could see a TV. It was like a sports bar and a Super Bowl party. It was bad. And they had the king and queen seat right in the middle in front of the super big TV, and then they had the little two wraparounds, and they had other chairs and tables all over the place, and it was beautiful. And there was probably 40, maybe 50 people there. And it was about 10, 20 minutes before kickoff. And he was sitting in the chair, and we was all talking smack and everything else, and she walked in front of him to sit down in the queen chair. I don't know what happened in that walk between. He didn't reach up and touch her. I don't think she touched him. But whatever that interaction was, when she sat down, she turned her head just a little bit. And he looked at her, and she said, "Don't start none." And he said, "Won't be none." That's all the words that were said between the two of them. And, you know, none of us was paying no attention. And it might have been 30 seconds to a minute later. He stood up. He turned the big TV off. He said, "Hey, y'all take whatever y'all want, grab bottles of liquor, do whatever it is. I don't know where y'all going to go, but this party over. I need everybody to leave my house." And we was like, whoa, what's going on? What's going on? He's like, "I don't have to explain that to y'all. That between me and my wife. All of y'all need to leave up out this house." And we in there trying to get drinks and grab food. We scrambling out like roaches. And I was like the second to the last person to leave out of the house. And this is what made it the most powerful sexual thing to me. She was coming out of the kitchen. She was like, "Ain't nobody in there." And she gave him this look and walked past and just reached her hand out like, "I'm reaching for you." And he said, "One second, baby." And closed that door. Last of us walked out of that house. He closed that door. That lock almost broke how hard he turned that lock. And we was out there outside the front of the house for probably 15 minutes just going, "What happened, man? Did they get to fight? They arguing? Did somebody do something wrong?" No. No. That was a husband and a wife, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, however you look at it. That was them understanding that nothing in this world mattered to me, not this big old party, not my status with my friends, none of that. Baby, if you walk past me or I look at you, however it go, and we understand that, and all these motherfuckers could leave right now. Right now. Bye. Bye. Bye, bye, all y'all, bye. And it, that has stuck with me so strong. When y'all, when you get with that person and you have that connection where nothing matters but y'all could take over the world and not even think nothing else about it.
Right on.
Nothing.
Oh,
and like I said, it was the...
And see, earlier in one of the other shows we had, you know, when you're in love, you have your own language. You only have your own set of communication. And that's basically mm-hmm. what you have is your own set of communication. So, you know, you can't, you know, there's nothing you can do. And when you see, when you get that look of like, let's clear the room, you know, that's it.
Justin said something. Justin said something. He said they understood each other. Now, wait a minute. The word mm-hmm. the word understand. The word under means to submit. The word stand mm-hmm. means to know your point of view. So they submit to each other in love. So they know their point of view because they understand each other. They both are submissive to each other. So they mm-hmm. understand each other because they've learned each other.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And like I said,
and if you got to understand,
you get a taste of that.
You got growth automatically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
If you get a taste of that, you just get a taste of it. You don't even have to have that whole scenario. You just mm-hmm. get a taste of it. You will go to the ends of the earth to see, just to see if it's possible that you get a little more inkling of it. And then you're going to go a little bit farther past the ends of the earth to see if you get a little more of that. And then all of a sudden you have it. And I'm not going to let this go. Where do you think you're going? Mm. Oh, are we arguing? Mm. Okay. Boo, I'm going to sit here on this couch. You ain't going nowhere. I ain't going nowhere. We're just going to be two mm-hmm. mad people on this couch. Now, lay over so I can lay on your side. And you can be mad, but I'm going to put my arms around you anyway. Vice versa. I'm the baby. I know you're mad at me. Come here. And she just spoon up right behind you. You don't want to turn on and look at her because you're mad and want to push her out of bed. But as soon as she put that arm around you, your life ain't mad no more. Your life ain't mad.
Mm.
Even though you might be mad, your life ain't mad. Your life ain't mad at all. Your life like, well, at least I can look forward to the end. Because we all know what happens when you get over the argument. No, you get over the end of your argument. We all know what makeup is.
Makeup sex, yes. Indeed.
Makeup all of it. It's the sex, it's the mm-hmm. food, it's the everything. The come in and get in the shower and wash it back. That's what that is.
Mm.
Like, man. I know y'all seen that Steve Harvey. I know y'all seen, I'm sorry, but I know y'all seen that Steve Harvey when he was talking about Margie was at the show. And he was like, I'll kill all you muscles. You better ask God. I will kill all y'all in here behind that one right there. She belonged to me, mm-hmm. and I belong to her. That is mine. Yes, sir. Right now. No problem. Wouldn't even hurt my feelings. Okay.
Okay. So the next part of number 9 is, and he's talked about it. Let me hope so you can still hear me. Your relationship is all about give and take. When you love someone unconditionally, you give wholeheartedly. It's not about taking what you can. It's all about what you can give to this person. And that's exactly what Dustin and Reverend Ron was talking about. And we're not just talking about material things. Deep love is all about giving wholeheartedly. Not just part of your heart, not just a section of your heart, not just the left ventricle or the right ventricle, but your whole heart. Your whole heart. You know, everything. I said everything. Am I not correct, fellas? Everything?
Absolutely.
A thousand years of love mm-hmm. in 24 hours, you know?
Uh-huh. Okay, 1,000 years of love. You and that 1,000. I'm tired of you and that 1,000 years of
love. 1,000 years of love in 24 hours.
No, that is so the truth. When a man loves a woman and a woman loves, or vice versa, the amount of energy, pure energy, that is produced in 24 hours could power just about anything for 1,000 years. If you could take love energy and channel it into a battery, that battery would run whatever it was for 1,000 years. There's no other way to put it. Love is like, the best? Love is like
a box of chocolate.
It starts out like a drop of water. And it leaves out of that cloud, and it's just this little drop of water and condensation that starts collecting and gets a little bigger and a little bigger. And as it gets down, all of a sudden, when it hits and it's right, that same drop of water is an ocean instantly. Instantly. The second it lands, it is a ocean. And it's amazing. That is how love works. That's how love is. Mm-hmm. Reverend Ron, what's the word? Agape.
Agape.
Mm-hmm.
Agape. There's nothing mm-hmm. bigger than agape. Nothing.
That's right.
And when you have agape love,
it's perpetual.
Perpetual in every direction, every part of your life, from your toes to your top of your head, your sight, your sound, your breath, your smell, everything. When you are in love, I could be in a blindfold in a crowd of 1,000 people and have them walk by me, and I'll tell my girl to stop because I know what she smells like. It's the let you be somewhere and you smell that subtle perfume that she puts on, that she wears, just because it is what it is. It's not the going out perfume. It's that every day just want to smell a little nice for you. Let you be somewhere in the middle of a heated conversation and smell it, I could bet you 1,000 to 1 that whatever you were arguing about, whoever you was arguing with, no longer became important, because your whole body just snatched your head all the way around that whole entire crowd to see where your baby was. It's amazing the amount of energy that you give off when you are truly
in
unconditionally
love.
Agape in love. It's amazing. You can taste it. You can smell it. You can feel it. You close your eyes and walk right to it. It's incredible. So, Reverend Run, you keep going with your 1,000 years. I agree with you 100%, sir.
Well, I told him, 1,000 years, of love.
In 24 hours.
In 24 hours, that's 500 years of love in every 12 hours.
Amen.
That's a nice number.
Excuse me?
This is Reverend Carolyn. I'm back. I said that sounds like a nice number.
A powerful number. That's what Reverend Ron keeps on talking about, that same thing. That same thing. It's like the same. That's powerful. I mean, you just love forever. You just keep on going until the umpteenth power. You just don't stop. You just don't stop at all.
But it supersedes the expectation of the love for the natural person.
I don't like when y'all laugh like that.
I think that's a, when we get it, when we as men, we get that statement. Not even. We understand it and we feel it and we know it and we can all of the above.
Right.
It's that giggle because we're like, oh, how'd this happen? And no, I didn't realize.
Where this come
wait
from?
A minute. Whoa. Hey, man, you want to go out? No, I'm going home.
Yeah.
And don't feel bad about it at all. It's funny
because
when
you know you're going home too.
It's funny when you're in a relationship that you're not really you're not really wanting to be in there, but you do because it's convenient. And hey, man, you want to go out? You want to go do this? Oh yeah, yeah. But when you got that one, and you want to go out? No, I'm going home. Hey, bro, after work, you want to go? No, I'm going home. Get home, and you don't sit in your car. Like, darn, I got to go in this house and deal with all. No, you get out of that car, you grab all your stuff, you go in the house, and you know when you crest that door, within a few minutes, your sunshine, your light, your just everything, all of a sudden, just as soon as she turned that corner, it don't matter if she got a silk bonnet on with a makeup off, hair sticking out the side, got a her grandmama robe on, it don't matter. Soon as that thing turned the corner, there she
the
go.
Kona.
K-O-N-A-H,
Kona.
Kona.
It's that song, was it? Love Should Have Brought You Home Last Night. And it sure did.
It sure did. What you talking about? I was here at 9:30, baby. I was here at 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear your mouth. I'll sleep at 10:15.
You know, the perfect eve of a woman, the perfect eve of a woman, it can really make a man become speechless. In other words,
speak, brother, speak on it.
The perfect eve of the woman, you know, because, you know, you can see Eve in that woman one way or the other, you know, but the perfect part of her, the perfect Eve, where if a man gets a hold to the perfect Eve, he can become speechless.
Speechless?
Okay.
I ain't even speechless. Yeah. You come incoherent. Your sentences don't even come out your mouth right. It don't even come out right. When you know what I'm talking about. When you meet that one that catch you like that, and you go to, you got some smooth stuff to say, and you get ready to say it, and your mouth just is like, peanut butter,
man,
jelly,
man,
applesauce.
Man.
What does that have to do with anything? I'm just done. That's all I was trying to say. You understand? And the funny part, that you know, you can look back at it and laugh at it now, but the funny part is you so embarrassed that your lips didn't follow what your brain was saying, or your heart, depending on the day. But she's so cool that she understood exactly what you meant. And she's like, oh, that's the sweetest thing they ever said to me. And you like, nigga, man. Am I lying?
You sound like that man on Fat Albert.
Yeah.
Wait, you know something else I grasped in my life?
What's that?
A mature woman can heal a man.
A mature woman
can heal a man.
Heal a man from what?
Say that again.
Everything.
She can heal a man inwardly when he's really right on. Everything is QA. But a mature woman who loved God, who got her thing together, and free from pain, free from hurt, she can really heal a man because she can touch the part of him. I don't know how, but God put that thing in her. She can touch the part of him and cause a motivating energy to rise up in him. He feels consoled. She brings consolement if she's mature. You understand what I'm saying? She can bring consolement to a man to the point where it's like she becomes a pillar.
Okay.
You're right, man. And that once again is one of those things. That's a two-way street. When you meet somebody that if you're broken and you're doing everything in your power to fight just to stay, keep your pieces in the same place, not put them back together. Just keep all your pieces in the same place. And you're so wrapped up, and you have that mature person, and that not only understands that has already put you all the way back together, looked at what you look like and said, oh, yes, I can work with that. Mm-hmm. Even though she didn't put you together right then, she was able to look at you and realize what it is that you needed and or is willing to try to help you. And it doesn't take much because y'all is a master at putting them puzzles together. But you stand behind that man, and you see that potential, and you know it's in there somewhere, it ain't going to take you long. It ain't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like a man standing in front of a woman that had dudes drug all over the earth and ain't helped her with nothing, and you come in and you sit down and you just be there. You be there. And you take, you know, men think it's fun, you know, think it's the way to do it is I'm coming in, sweep her off her feet, take care of everything, and just let her do what she do. No. You can't do it that way. You have to come in and pull pieces off of plates one piece at a time. One piece at a time. And let her see I'm gonna look past your tension tantrums. I'm gonna look past your jealousies. I'm gonna look past your insecurities. I'm gonna look past all those things. But baby, here, let me wash these dishes for you. And baby, here, I just washed all the clothes for you. Hey, baby, here, I'm going to drop all the kids off at school today. Hey, baby, I got you on dinner tonight. And you start taking these little bits and pieces off a plate.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take long. It doesn't take long. But all of a sudden, the things that she's been harboring for so long, these blemishes or these walls that she put all around, all you've been doing is swiping them jokers out the way like Tetris. Get out the way. Get out the way. I know what your heart looked like, baby. I've seen it the day I met you. I know who you are. I know who I'm in love with. And I know she's in there. And this little bit of potential transform and stuff that you're doing ain't nothing to me. Come here. What you mad about? I just want to come here. What you mad about? I'm just here. Come here. Here, just put your head right here on my chest. Put your arms around me. And let me hold you tight and kiss you on your forehead. I'm going to lean down and say, baby, I love you. You're all right. You're going to be okay, baby. I promise. It's that part, and it works both ways. It does.
Mm-hmm.
Women do it to men, and men do it to women. And if you got somebody in your corner that's trying to do that,
let them do it.
What person said, when a man loves a woman, can't keep his mind on nothing else.
I had a lady just one time.
Hold on a second, Reverend Ron. Hold on a second, Reverend Ron.
Okay. Y'all, I have to get up in 5 hours. Like, literally, I have to get up in 5 hours for work. I enjoyed talking to you this evening. I will go back, Reverend Ron, and listen to the rest of this podcast tomorrow when I'm on my way into work.
Right on, brother.
Yeah, because I'm interested in what you had to say. But if I don't take myself to sleep, tomorrow's going to be an extremely long day.
Yeah, well, me too, man.
But I love y'all, and I look forward to speaking to y'all on the next one. And y'all be safe, and God bless y'all.
All right, thank you. Talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. Was everybody leaving me?
No, well, I was saying that I had a woman one time, a sister in my life. She was so powerful. She picked me up. As heavy as I am, she picked me up.
She picked you up spiritually, mentally, physically, what?
All of them.
Okay. She just lifted you, like, and you just was floating on air.
Floating on air.
I mean, she took you higher than higher than higher. Your love has lifted me higher, right? That's all?
Superseded all my expectations.
Been lifted before? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because, and that's what I'm saying. How many times have you been in love? I mean, she lifted you that high. You must have either been infatuated or something by her.
I was. Not only infatuated. Shoot, she was a perfect Eve.
Okay.
To me, a man that didn't have an Eve.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. A man that didn't have an Eve. Okay.
A man that don't have an Eve, all he has is an evening.
Oh, Lord. Just the evening or just the even? He even doesn't even have that. Oh my goodness. But as we continue, number 10, everything feels right. Have you ever felt like you need to assess everything? Do you need to weigh things and analyze them? Deep love is far from that. You feel deep inside that you've made the right decision when all doubt disappears. Just like it seems like, you know, you and Dustin, when you encountered your loves and what have you. You know, he finally has found the woman who, I don't want to say it, who's been looking for, but has been right in front of her, right in front of him this whole time. He just didn't even know it. He just didn't even know it until he really opened his eyes. His wife, she passed away, she died. And so then this other woman, you know, because I mean, I check on him because he was worrying me because it was like, okay, is he okay? Because, I mean, he is the sweetest person that I know of. One of the sweetest person I know of, but yet it's like, you know, just like he couldn't find the right woman. And I just said, just be patient. And ta-da, hit him like a boulder. It did. It really did. How are you laughing?
But he hit it like a boulder, like...
Like a boulder, boy. Just like, just hit him.
Oh, boy.
You didn't know how to act. She was on the show. Her name is. Excuse me.
When you got it like that, you tell everybody, say, listen, I gotta go. You know. So where you going?
Mm-hmm.
I gotta go.
Don't matter. It doesn't matter where you gotta go. Just go. And, you know, it's just good that he has this person in his life because I was worried. I was really worried. So, I was really worried. But, deep love makes you feel complete and at peace. And that just seems like what you have with Sharon and he has with this young lady and Reverend McCullough has with Rodney. You know, just that peace, 38 years, that's a long time. I mean, we've all been through ups and downs in our marriages and in our lives and stuff. That's just part of life. But, you know, if you could sustain and keep on going, hey, it is what it is. You can do these things. And it's just not as bad as you think it is when you're not alone. When you two up go through together, you can conquer anything.
Mm-hmm.
You can conquer anything. Number 11, you listen to each other. Mm-hmm. How many times do you want to tell somebody, if you don't be quiet, if you just will listen to me? Sometimes we just don't listen. We communicate too much. We over-communicate. You know, we don't sit there and just be quiet and let the stillness of the moment speak, you know. And sometimes we just speak too much, and sometimes we don't speak enough. You know, the Goldilocks approach, you know, too much, too little, just enough. Mm-hmm. When you are deeply in love with someone, you want to listen to them. You listen to them when they are telling you stories, what happened at work, and things like that, and things that they like, their opinions, and even why they disagree with you at times. Do we really listen to others when we disagree? Or do we shut them out and shut them off? Reverend Ron?
Well, no, I want to hear what you're saying. Yeah, I don't want to close you off. You know, when you're talking and you're sincere and you're trying to get a point across, I want to listen to you so I can accommodate you with that, you know?
But you're a different dog, though. I'm surprised Solution hasn't joined us. No, I mean, because you know how to, you know, as you said, you know, you had to train your woman, as you say. Teach your woman. Whatever you said, you said train, but it's like, don't train me. We might work things out together, but you're not going to train
right.
me. You know, we train each other or teach each other some things, but train me, that just seems harsh. It just seems like we're animals in the, and when the you're the ringleader and you have to snap a whip and get us into shape. No. That's not, don't seem right.
Well, I know a lot of people take that as that, but that don't mean that what I'm speaking of. What I'm speaking of is, you know, cultivate and educate on what I expect in a perfect woman, and I'm gathering my facts off of a perfect woman. So I know I know the actions of a perfect woman, and if I can get that in the woman I'm with, she may not understand it, just now becoming free mentally, so I have to share that with her. That's what I mean when I say teach. Teach may not be the most accommodating word or most pleasurable word.
Teach
when it
is
comes
okay,
to
but
a man
when you say train, but when you say
train,
that's a whole different thing.
Well, you know, train, teach, cultivate, enhance. All of those are relatives as far as words are concerned. But when I speak of train, and maybe I stop using that word. Maybe I'll just say educate or teach or even profoundly just love into a new phase of intellect. You know what I mean? Just love you into a new phase of intellect to the point where you say, well, I want to do this. This is what I want to do because of the freedom I have with you and oneness. You know?
Okay.
And that can mean everything, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we have just had another person join us. And who just joined us at 3366? Or are you just listening? The last four, 3366? Okay. You must just be listening. We're welcome to Let's Do It Radio. Miss Inez says, let's talk about it. And we're talking about how deep is your love. And we want to thank you for joining us this evening. But, yeah, I know. I think at the time we were just going through that, you know, you're going to train somebody. This seems like, it just seems harsh to me. It seemed really, 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 really harsh. It's like, I don't like that word. Mm-mm.
Well, why would that word turn you off so? Yeah.
Because, and as I was saying, it just seems like, I don't want to say it. It just seemed like we were animals, and that's all. It just seemed like we were animals.
Well, now
and
that's the story.
When
you create a person that takes that in that sense, they create a story. Because actuality, what I was saying was, you know, to enlighten.
Uh-huh.
I was speaking of in that part, enlighten, open the eyes of your understanding to, you know, what I want as a man, you know, out of a woman. So, in other words, when I said train, it wasn't like a animal tainer who tames animal.
Uh-huh.
No.
Uh-huh.
You know, we've been trained in several different areas of our lives.
Right.
You know, we've been trained. You remember the scripture said, the Bible even said, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he won't depart. Train him up. Show him. Hands-on. See, training has to do with a holistic approach, a hands-on approach sometimes.
I got you. But, I mean, just the way that you said it, just sound like, okay, I'm nobody's child. I mean, we on the same level, I would think we'd be on the up and up. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, So that's what I'm thinking. I don't know. But it just seemed like... But you know what I'm saying? Because it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Because being on the same level is like, okay, are you going to train me? Like, you know, just to me, it just seemed rough. But I mean, but when you put it in the Bible context, you know, it's like different. Totally different.
Yeah, you know. It's not, you know, when you got somebody that loves you and you love them, there is a sense of oneness and togetherness from a mental training standpoint of view as well, you know?
Okay.
Mentally, when people are mature and they got over their past hurts, they're ready to love and they're ready to be loved.
Okay.
The most beautiful person that you can run into is a person that's ready to give love and to receive love. That's a free person. That's a free-minded person.
Right. And they have to be ready and willing and acceptable as well. But a lot of people, they want love. They just don't know how to either give it or receive it. So therefore,
they ain't ready for love. They ain't ready for no relationship.
Well, it's not that they're not ready. They may not know how to. So they may be ready to, but they may have to, as you say, be trained, taught how to love. And some people have to be the right. I'm just saying, have to be the right person to help them on that journey, so that they can be loved rightly and properly. You understand what I'm saying? Because a lot of times you know, just like children, you know, they feel like they're in love at the age of whatever, you know, 6, 7, 11, 12, 15, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, what y'all know about love? You know, they get the little feelings hurt, and the next thing you know, so-and-so doesn't like me anymore, and I'm breaking up, and then next thing you know, they feel like they're, I don't want to say it, on the outs with somebody, and, you know, they can't find love in anybody else, so they distance themselves, and the next thing you know, sorry to say, they commit suicide. Well, they didn't know how to accept the love or accept the rejection, so therefore, we need to, quote-unquote, teach people how to love and how to accept rejection, because, you know, you have those talks with your mom and your dad, and you'd be sitting in the bathroom with a bunch of tissue, you know, crying and carrying on, or in your room or what have you, because little Johnny broke my heart and, you know, little Susie hurt my feelings and blah, 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 blah. Well, a lot of these kids aren't ready for love, and they need to learn how to love. And, you know, do parents teach children how to love? Some parents, yes. Some parents, not so much. So we need to show love so that other people can love. Is that not correct?
No, that's so true. Very true. Very true.
Yeah. So, you know, just like what I want to say, just like hatred or bigotry or racism, you know, that's a taught thing. You know, why can't you teach a child how to love? Why do you have to teach a child how to be racist? Why can't you just depart from the racist ways and do the love ways, you know? And I guess there some people who are racist, their ways are different. Well, you know,
well,
it's like that.
Let me ask you something.
No.
Where did racism come from?
I don't know. You know me, I'll Google in a heartbeat.
Race, if you look at it from a standpoint of view of God, racism came when the fall came.
The fall?
Yes, in the Garden of Eden. When the fall taking place, racism was brought forth because it was brought forth in sin, the capacity of sin. It's one of the attributes of sin. You know what I mean? And being that it's one of the attributes of sin, that means when the fallen nature of Lucifer and Eve, well, then it became enmity, enemies to perfection. The fallen nature became an enemy to the perfect nature of God, which he created men and women to be. But when the fall came, that broke it up, and that started racism because you had the people that were fallen start disliking people that practiced their original origin, perfection.
Okay.
So if people who are just under the umbrella of the fallen nature, well, they tend to think that they can create chicanery within that fallen nature. Great men, great women, all this kind of thing. Some people even idolize themselves as gods and stories of gods and all this kind of thing. Well, those people that believe in the delusion of truth, they hate people that really believe in truth.
But, okay, you talk about the fall. So first it was just Adam and Eve in the fall. And so they passed on everything else?
Hmm? Somebody?
I said, first it was just when you talk about the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who does the fall involve? Because at first it was just Adam and Eve, correct?
Well, Adam and Eve, and then there was Lucifer who was already in existence there in the garden.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
So he was already in the darkness. He was already in the void, the darkness. He fell in the period in a period where the earth hadn't been formed yet, but he was in the darkness because he was tossed out of light out of darkness. So he was there when the lights came on the earth. When God gave lights to the earth, he was already there. But he had already begun a racist process against God because he threw him out. His whole concept was, I'm going to destroy and blemish anything that this perfect God does. That's what he thought.
That's what Lucifer thought?
Yeah.
So... So Lucifer, are you saying, was wise, right?
Well, not only Lucifer.
If he brought the racism through, excuse me?
Wait a minute. I'm saying it wasn't only Lucifer. It was a third of the angels that fell with him. So he had a congregation of very, very, very high intellect people because they were fallen angels. Remember, they was in the divine world before they fell. So they were there with God. They actually experienced that, right? So when they failed, then he became angry. And and from that point, he created a doomed future. So he don't have nothing to look forward to. So when people have a doomed future, they feel in their hearts and their mind like they've lost out. Then that's when they become racist. Through jealousy,
right?
through envy, through sin. Racism is an attribute of sin.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know that. Anything that's not good is sin. Let me see here. Definition of racism.
It don't. It really don't have nothing to do with white, black, and all that kind of stuff. A race, it's an attribute of sin. Dislike, you know, that means blemish, hate, perfection. Imperfection, hate, perfection.
Okay. Webster, let me see, definition of Oxford language is racism. Prejudice, discrimination, or antagonism by an individual, community, or institution against a person or people on the basis of their membership in a particular racial or ethnic group, typically one that is a minority or marginalized.
Mm-hmm.
Two, the belief that different races possess distinct characteristics, abilities, or qualities, especially so as to distinguish them as inferior or superior to one another.
Mm-hmm.
The meaning of racism is a belief that race is a fundamental determinant of human traits and capacities, and that racial differences produce an inherent, superiority of a particular race.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting. That's all I got to say. It's just interesting. Interesting. So, come on. Don't act up now. No, my system wants to act up. What?
Well, I got to take a call here.
Okay.
But I've certainly enjoyed myself with the call tonight and all the people that was here, okay? And you too, to the extreme, all right?
Okay. I appreciate you, fine, sir. Let's see. Okay. So you know how deep
the love is, you know?
Well, we're not finished. We still got more to talk about, but I know that you got to go.
Yeah.
So we're going to continue probably on Thursday. And
okay,
we have Bible study tomorrow with Reverend Carolyn Williamson. Yeah,
uh-huh.
She'll be doing Bible study. So so Thursday we're going to continue part three of How Deep Is Your Love. So I want to thank all y'all for joining us in tonight. And I'm going to go into the announcements. I know you got things you got to do. And I appreciate you coming through. And, of course, hopefully you'll join me on Thursday.
Sure.
You will join me on Thursday. All right, fine, sir. Thank you. And
hey, have a good night. You have a good night, and just remember how deep the love is, you know?
I understand that for sure. You're so silly. All right. Thank you so much. Okay. So tomorrow we have a Bible study with Reverend Carolyn Williamson, and she's going to continue with, Corinthians. And so come prepared tomorrow to study Corinthians, where we left off the last time. And as you heard on from Reverend Ron, he will be speaking on this third Sunday for church, and on Thursday we will have Miss Inez. Let's talk about it. We're going to be talking again about How Deep Is Your Love Part 3. And please support Reverend Ron through his music as he just released, well, not just released, he as his released single, Jesus Has Made You Whole, which can be heard on all music media, iTunes, CD Baby, Amazon, anything musically inclined. That's where you can be found. So to keep us the radio on the air, you can donate to Cash App at $ANAISCVALCOUR or to Venmo at MZ-INEZ or through Zelle if you know my telephone number or email address. And we are also open to sponsorships. And if you want to become a sponsor, you can send an email to me at letsdoitradio@gmail.com and sponsor Let's Do It Radio and help us stay on the air.
I want to thank the worldwide listening audience for joining us this evening. Miss Inez says, let's talk about it. And if you ever miss an episode, you can always go back and listen to any of the episodes that have been aired. And you can go back on www.theblogtalkradio.com/touchthroughradio. And you can view all of the past episodes on demand. So you, whatever you've missed, you can go back and listen to it. You can, as I say, binge listen. And that would be wonderful. And if you got something on your chest, don't keep it to yourself. Join us on Tuesdays and Thursdays on Miss Inez Says Let's Talk About It so we can get this off your chest. Or we might even discuss a topic that you have. And, you know, you can co-host with me when your topic. And I want to let you know I have been your hostess for the evening, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Inez Velcro Designs at www.anaiscvalcour.com. You can follow me on Facebook and Instagram under Inez Velcro. Thank you, thank you, thank you for following me thus far and for supporting me. And the next thing we will have is work. With wisdom of the words of wisdom, I should say, from the workplace, from Dr. Monica Y. Jackson, who was on last week with the T-Floor Summit that's coming up May 19th to the 21st. It's a virtual summit, so if you're interested in it, you can go to her website, drmonicajackson.com, and check it out. She's going to have some good speakers. Oh, my gosh, you should hear some of the stories of these speakers. I believe there's 9 speakers, and we had 5 of them who joined us on last Thursday. And my, you've got to hear these stories, and it may even help you through some of your life issues and what have you. But this is words of wisdom from the workplace. No matter how ugly, disappointing, or unfair things are in the workplace, you have very little control over what others do. However, that word right there, however, you can control your response and how you allow it to impact your future. So that was Miss Inez. So let's talk about it this week with How Deep Is Your Love Part 2. We'll continue on Thursday. And so we will end out today on this song. What is the song we're going to do? I still have... I haven't found what I'm looking for, but you too. Yes, you too. still haven't found what I'm looking for. And why haven't you found what you're looking for? Because if I don't know where to go to look for what you're looking for, how deep is your love? It's like
I can
in the morning sun. I feel you touch me in the pouring rain. And the moment that you wander far from me, I wanna feel you in my arms again. And you come to me on a summer breeze, keep me warm in your love, then you softly leave. Yeah.
Thank you and enjoy your evening. Good night.